God, amen. Good morning, everybody. I just turned on my little tablet here, and it says it's 2 degrees up here in Cuesta. My goodness. No wonder it's cold, huh? Well, praise the Lord. How many of us are excited about what God's doing in our lives? Amen. How many believe that God's still working some good things in us? Amen. You know, during the time of Thanksgiving, we always remember what we're thankful for, a reflection of that, and I'm just going to throw this question out there. How many of you could say, I am thankful for, and just fill in something. I'm thankful for, what's that? Yeah, say it out loud. Someone say something. Someone's got to be thankful for something. Oh, thank you. Family? Health? Fellowship? So his side over here is kind of quiet. Give me some over here. All right. Brother Joy, what was that? Amen. Amen. I'm thankful to see Mr. Hawkins here with us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. The thing about being thankful is recognizing things that have been done for you that you appreciate. And I really believe that sometimes we've got to be thankful to the Lord. You know, even this morning, through the time, there's such a sweet spirit here this morning during the time of worship. I really believe the Lord just wants us to be able to embrace the goodness of who He is. Amen? And I really believe that as we go into what the Lord has for us, and it's even harder to imagine. It's already going to be the year 2020. My goodness. Unbelievable. Amen? But that's exciting as well because 2020, if you have a 2020 vision in the year 2020, we're going to be good, all right, right? Spiritually, amen? So just tell the person next to you, I'm thankful you are here. Amen. And let's turn our Bibles to Psalms 37. Psalms 37. I'm thankful. Psalms 37, verses 3 through 5. Amen. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. The one key word here that I really want to grab a hold of is trust. You know, trust is a word. I looked it up. Definition. Let me find it here. No, I looked it up. Maybe I wasn't supposed to give it to you yet. It says trust. Firm belief in reliability of someone or something. So a firm belief in their reliability. In other words, if someone tells you they're going to do it and you trust them, you believe that they're going to do it. They're going to fulfill it. And see, we live in a world where a lot of trust has been broken. How many can say amen to that? And a lot of us, there's some big obstacles in our lives in order for us to trust something or someone. Because we've been hurt. We've gone through difficult times and we've trusted people and we've been let down. So trust has been violated. How many can say amen? And so when we really think sometimes about trusting God, how many of us have a hard time to really say, I do trust God? Or does that trust come with certain limitations? I'll trust Him this much. I'll trust Him with this, but I can't trust Him with this. You know, are we limiting God with our trust? I guess that's the question I'm putting out there. Because the thing is, God says we need to trust the Lord with your whole heart. Trust the Lord with your whole heart. The thing about it is, because of some of the things we've gone through in life, I believe I was looking at this as I was preparing this message, and I'm looking at things and I'm saying, where are certain things that I do not trust God in, or certain things that I've been hurt that keep my trust from really embracing the fullness of who God is? Because sometimes we limit God because of the way we perceive Him. And I really want to break down any trust barrier that is limiting you between you and God. Because I really believe God wants us to trust Him with our whole heart. Even as it says in that scripture there, it says, trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Amen? How many things are in our lives that we want to see something change, but it says there, if we trust in Him, He will bring it to pass. But the thing is, we try to do it, and we continually try to do it our own way, and we don't put our trust in God. Is that making sense to anybody? Because a lot of times, I really believe God is saying that we need to learn to trust Him. If God said He will do it, how many of us truly believe God is faithful to do it? Or do we say, well, maybe I need to help God. Maybe I need to encourage Him. Maybe I need to do something. Because the thing is, if we've been hurt in our lives, it's hard to trust. And the thing about it is, we carry those hurts. And what the Lord is saying is, we need to lay them down and trust Him with them. Amen? Understanding that God is for us. How many can say amen to that? God is for you. God is for you. He wants the best for you. He doesn't want us struggling. He doesn't want us carrying stuff that is hindering us or holding us back or weighing us down. The Lord says that we need to run the race. Amen? How many of you are running your race with a U-Haul behind you, pulling a U-Haul behind you? Amen? You're running a race with all this weight, with all this stuff. You can't run with all that stuff. You can't be free to achieve and really put everything you have into that race if you're carrying that much stuff. Amen? Sometimes if you look at at someone that is training, an athlete that is training to run, they even watch what they eat. They make sure that their body's in the finest performance, ready to go. They do everything. So even the clothes they wear is very light, and it's even breaks the wind. It's very, very, everything is made so that they can go fast. Amen? The thing about it as Christians is God is saying that we need to run a race, but we're trying to bring all this stuff with us. I really believe that we need to learn to trust God. It says, lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Amen? Trust in Him so that He can show you that all things are possible for those who put their trust in Him. Amen? The thing is, I believe that the thing is, and I was looking at myself, maybe I'm speaking to myself, there's a lot of things that I've got to trust God with. There's a lot of things that I still want to hold on to. And the Lord is saying that we need to trust in the Lord. Amen? And do good, dwell in the land, and feed on His faithfulness. How many of us truly feed on all the words that He speaks to us? Every promise, every word of the Word of God. Things that enlighten us. As you're reading your Word, all of a sudden you say, wow, that is really good. How many of you feed on that? And it's this faithfulness that keeps us going and encouraging us so that we can achieve the things that we need to. Amen? You know, one of the things I notice around when you're around young kids, if you encourage them, all of a sudden they'll listen to you. But if you're always discouraging them, they don't want to listen to you. Amen? They'll turn you off. And I'm really learning with some of the boys that I'm working with, because I don't know their past, but I see that they've been hurt. Their trust has been violated. They need to, if they're going to trust me, I need to be able to speak life to them, and they need to be able to see what I'm speaking to them is, and if they apply it, they're going to achieve, they're going to accomplish something. And I really believe that the Lord is saying, if you trust in me, I'm going to start showing you those gold nuggets that you're going to see that are going to excite you and energize you, and you're going to get fired up because God is answering your prayers. God is moving in your life. God is causing things to happen. And you start realizing that you are important to God, that God loves you, that God has His best interest in you. And I really believe that we're a people that sometimes, because of what we've gone through, we hold back with God. We hold back. And God is saying, I'm coming to release you in this new year. I'm coming to release you so that you can achieve and you can be those that understand the goodness and the favor of God and be able to say, I know I can do it because God is for me. Because God is for me. And He knows what's going on. But it's coming to that point of understanding the trust and being able to grab a hold of everything that God is. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 through 10. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. In other words, grab a hold of what you know that is real, the truth. God is truth. You know, there's a lot of things that we've been lied to about and a lot of things that have come our way that we've trusted and it's been a lie. But God is saying, let not mercy and truth forsake you. It says, bind them around your neck. In other words, know who you are and know who your God is. Let the doubt be gone. Let everything that you understand and you truly know is real, let it be bound around your neck, it says. And it says, write them on the tablet of your heart. Know in your heart who God is. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God. Find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Isn't it amazing that the Lord is telling us that if we grab a hold of who he is and we trust him and we start walking and believing that way, that all of a sudden we're going to find favor with him and favor with people around us, and he's going to provide and he's going to give us what we need, and the provision is going to be upon us. It comes with the promise. In other words, if we trust God, God is going to meet our needs. Isn't it awesome? And the reason I'm sharing this is there's a reason for it all. Okay? I want you to know that if you look back in the Word of God, all the individuals that became or written about in the Word of God are individuals that battled through life, just like me and you. But there was something about them that drove them to consistently be close to God. For instance, let's take Moses. When Moses was first called by God to go and deliver the people, what did he say? He right away said, you got the wrong guy, God. This is according to 3 Peter. He said, you got the wrong guy, God. I'm not even a good speaker. I stumble in my words. I even sometimes start... making no sense, and I do things, and you know what? You got the wrong guy. I can't do it. But God said, Moses, I am with you. And something shifted in Moses' life. When the Lord really called him, and he gave all his excuses, and God said, Moses, I need you. Finally, Moses said, okay, I will go. And God gave him every reason to go. He showed him things. He showed him his power. He showed him different things. But then Moses, all of a sudden, there was a switch that turned on Moses' life. He started to trust God. And because Moses trusted God, not only did he lead a people out of Egypt, out of a powerful source. They had soldiers. They were in bondage. They were slaves. And here comes a man saying, let my people go. You've got to understand the shifting of the dynamics there, because the only reason Egypt was what it was because of the slaver, the people they had in slavery and the things they built and everything else. And now all of a sudden, Moses shows up and says, let them go. And Pharaoh says, no. And that's when the Lord started using Moses to perform great miracles. God would speak them, and Moses would do them. Through the obedience. And I want you to know that I really believe that each one of us, God has called us, and we've come with a bunch of excuses. I know that when the Lord was calling me to come and preach and do this and do that, I kind of almost had the same thing that Moses did. He goes, I said, I'm not a very good speaker. I panic when I get in front of people. I freak out. You know, I took speech in college. I took it 3 times. And it wasn't because I was majoring in speech. It was because I kept failing the class. Amen? Every time, I remember every time the teacher would stand by the door and he had little papers in his hand, I wouldn't go. I'd go by. Because what he'd do is, as you were going by, and he'd always pick me. He'd give you a paper and it'd say, like, randomly, table. And you'd have to get up and talk about a table for 5 minutes. And it used to freak me out. I used to panic. It was impromptu speech or something. I don't know what he called it. But the thing about it is, I didn't like it, and I hated to get in front of people. I remember one time I was doing a, I don't even know they've allowed you to do this at school now, but I did a, it was, I don't even know the type of speech it is. It's kind of like you have to show someone how to do something. And I took a gun, and I was showing them how to clean a rifle in the classroom. And I remember I was so nervous that the bolt fell off, everything. It was a mess. Anyway, it was because I'd get so nervous. And the thing about it is, when God calls you, we have all the excuses. And we even have the things we can say, Lord, look at my past. Look what I've done. I'm not worthy. I'm not cut out to do what you called me to do. But the Lord says, you know what? When he calls you and you really listen to him, there's got to be a trust factor that turns on in your life. And you say, Lord, because you said it, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. But I'm going to trust you, Lord, that what you're saying is true, and I trust you. And then that switch turns on. Because you even imagine Daniel. Daniel was an individual that loved the Lord with all his heart. He loved God. He trusted God. And because of his trust, all of a sudden, now he's being thrown in a lion's den because he was doing what God told him to do. He did it right. But yet, because he was doing the right thing, he was being cast into a lion's den. But in the midst of that lion's den, the thing is that the word of God says that even the king, when he was throwing Daniel in, he says, Daniel, if your God is able, let him keep you safe from these lions. And Daniel looked to the king and said, if that is the will of my God, he will do it. He trusted God, even in the midst of a lion's den. You know, you think of Nehemiah, when he was called to go rebuild the wall. Here he was being faithful. He didn't have all this great equipment. He didn't have all the proper tools. He didn't have all the material to build this beautiful wall. He was having to build it from what was already there and what already had been thrown down and cast down and all the ruins. He was having to build this wall. And you know what? He was faithful to the calling that God gave him. He started to build the wall. He started to build the wall because why? He trusted God. And all of a sudden, in the midst of that, let's turn to Nehemiah 4, I believe it is, and verses 1 through 4. Here he is building the wall. He's doing what his God has called him to do. And all of a sudden, this is what shows up. It says, but it so happened, when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. In other words, here comes this individual to mock or to destroy or to discourage what the man of God is doing. And he says, and he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samurai and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish stones that are burned? Now Tobiah, an Ammonite, was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, if even a fox goes on it, he will break down their stone walls. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. In other words, what was going on was here they're building the walls with what they had. Sanballat comes up and he starts mocking him that even if a fox runs on the wall's going to fall down. I want you to know that even when you're doing what God is doing, the enemy is going to come to try to discourage you. When you receive a word from God, as many of you did 2-3 weeks ago, you received a word from God that came to encourage you and give you direction and give you purpose in your life. The thing is that the enemy would want to come in and rob you of the word or of the words that you have received from God. The enemy would want to keep you at a low state where you do not believe that God can do what he said he would do. And the thing about it is, if we've heard from God, what voice are we listening to? Are we choosing to trust God, or are we choosing to listen to the deceiver, the liar, the one that comes to take away and to rob and to steal and to destroy? Isn't it amazing how you can walk into a place and let's say 10 people tell you something nice, but one person will tell you something that is negative, and when you walk out of that place, what is the thing you remember? The negativity. Isn't it amazing that the enemy works in the same way in your life? God is telling us that he has wonderful things for us, that he has direction, he has guidance, and he has purpose for us. But the enemy will come in and say one word of discouragement, and that's the word we grab a hold of. The thing is the Lord is saying, we need to be a people that turn, and we need to trust in our God like never before. Amen? If the Lord is for us, who can be against us? The thing about it is, God is coming to encourage you this morning, to inspire you and tell you that the things of the world are here to rob and to steal and to rob you of what God has for you. We're stepping into an exciting time. You know, the thing is God is sending us into a time of where the Spirit of God is moving like never before. I really believe these are some of the most exciting times in the time of generations, where God is moving like never before. In the midst of darkness, God says that he's going to move with greater power in his light. And I really believe that the people of God need to rise up and start being what you've been called to be. I really believe that it's not by chance that you work where you're at, or you're from the family that you belong to, or even from the neighborhood you belong to. God has planted you for such a time as this so that you can start being a light in those places that he's placed you. Amen? You know, Jesus spoke to fishermen and he said, "Follow me." They left everything behind and followed him. Just because Jesus showed up and said, "Follow me." Isn't that amazing that they had the heart or the compassion to see Jesus and to say, "There's something about this guy that I want to be with." They were willing to leave everything. They left their livelihood. They left everything behind to follow the Lord. In just a moment of time, Jesus didn't do it. He just said, "Follow me." And they were willing to do it. I really believe that the same voice of God is being spoken today, and he's calling us to follow him. How many of us are saying, "Here I am, Lord. I'm willing and ready to follow"? But the thing about it is, we are so caught up in our lives that we say, "I can't leave this, I can't leave that, I can't do this, I can't do that." But the thing is, in this day and age, God's not calling you to follow him and follow him for 3 years like the disciples did. The thing is, God is calling you to follow him to your workplace, to the place where you live, to your neighborhoods, so that he can be God over those circumstances and those situations that you're already a part of. The beautiful thing about it is, God is saying to each and every one of us, there is a time to move and there's a time to relax. These are days that the Lord is calling us to move. You know, I look at my life and I say sometimes, "Lord, as we get older and you get home in the evenings, man, it's nice to stay home and just relax, isn't it? It's nice to be able to turn on the heat and, you know, read a nice book or sit down and watch TV," and you say, "I'm just relaxing today." The thing is, it's easy to do that. You know, now that I made the commitment to be coming up here and coaching, I'm having to come up here every day. Every day to coach. Two, three hours with these kids. And the thing about it is, you know what? When you really feel you're doing something, it energizes you. And I really believe that's what the Lord is wanting to say to each one of us. Get yourself busy and get energized in the Lord. Do not get, find yourself making itself very easy to just be relaxed. Get yourselves busy for God. Get yourselves busy for God. Amen. So the thing is, as we look at these individuals from the Word of God, the problem is not God. The problem really comes down to, do we trust God? Because God has shown His faithfulness and His trust to be true through generations. Amen? You look at the Word of God, how He spoke into David's life that he would be a king and he became a mighty leader. How He spoke to Moses to lead a nation and Moses led a nation. How even to Abraham, He promised him that from his seed would come a nation. Amen? And because Abraham believed Him, it was fulfilled. So we see that individuals that trusted God found out that you could trust Him and He was faithful to fulfill what He said. So the thing is, in this day and age, I ask, if God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and He was found faithful in the past, I really believe that He wants to be faithful in the now, and He wants to be faithful in the future. But are we the people that are really putting our trust in Him and grabbing a hold and being able to say, God, You spoke it, so God, I believe it. How many can say amen to that? The thing is, that's where I think that a lot of us battle is really trusting God and letting go of our lives and being able to embrace what God has for us. Amen? And embrace the destination and even the things that He's spoken over your lives. What is it that He has for you? You know, when we start walking with confidence in the direction of the destiny that God has for us, that means maturity, spiritual maturity. We're not going to be moved. We're not going to be shaken. We know that our God is in control. We know that God is moving and He's doing great and wondrous things. The thing is, it's when we start letting other things, we listen to the enemy, we listen to the discouragement, we listen to the frustration, and all of a sudden, our minds start to run. And we start worrying so much about what the negativity is instead of thinking of the positively, the things that God has positively spoken into our lives. Men, how many of us really realize that God wants great things for each and every one of us? The thing is, we've got to let go of some things so that we can reach our destiny. Are we trusting and are we obeying His perfect plan for us? Amen. How is our trust in the Father? That is the question I laid down. How is your trust in the Father? If He said it, do we really believe that He will truly do it? Amen? Do we truly believe it? Deuteronomy 28, verses 2 and 3 say, "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you." All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. He's talking to His children here. All these blessings, in other words, everything that He has, the favor, the blessing of God is bestowed and He can share that, He can shower it. And it says, shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Isn't that a pretty awesome promise? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Isn't that pretty awesome? That if we obey and trust in God, that the favor, the blessings of God, not that we're doing it for that, but they just come. And we will be blessed in our homes, basically what he's saying. We will be blessed in their country, we'll be blessed in our city, we will be blessed wherever we go. And I really believe that's what the Lord is really shining upon us, that the blessing and the favor of God comes upon those that obey the voice of the Lord. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 through 8 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when he comes, but its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." These are all blessings and what God wants for us, to be trees planted by the river of life. In other words, everything you need is going to be provided by God. And you will always continue to shine and be individuals that are shining forth for the things of God. Amen? Trees that are planted by the river of God, bearing fruit. And it even says that in time of drought, you don't have to worry. God will supply you. Amen? Philippians 4:19. And it says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." I really believe that the Word of God this morning is coming to encourage each one of us to truly understand what it means to trust Him. You know, how many of us can truly say there is some trust issues in our lives? You know, we've been hurt, we've been frustrated, we've been discouraged in our lives. We trusted some things and they fell through. But I really believe God is saying, I need you to trust me. And I need you to trust me with all your heart, to really be able to see that if God said something in your life, he is faithful to fulfill it. To be able to say, God, if you said it, I trust you. Because the thing is the world is, you're not going to find trust in the world. In fact, you'll be discouraged if you're looking for things in the world. You know, right now we see that people have trusted in basically our leaders as presidents, as the Congress, as the Senate. And now it's amazing how all of that is just, their trust is being violated, isn't it? It's all coming into shambles. You can't trust what you're even hearing in the news anymore. The news isn't even the real thing. There's so many things that we trust in that have been violated. We trusted the money system. You know what? The money system is up and down, and it's breaking and it's clashing and all this stuff. The thing is, the only true thing that we can trust in is what we know that is real. And God says, if you put your trust in me, I will show you the ways on which your walk, your path should walk. The thing is God is really establishing family as trust once again. I really believe that the family unit is something that is very strong. Why do you think that the enemy would want to try to destroy the family unit? Because the family unit is, in God's eyes, is strong. That's what makes our nation what it is. Amen? That's what makes our people what it is the family unit. And that's why there's so much entanglement and things going on to destroy the family. And I really believe that the Lord is saying we need to fight for what we know is true. Our family is true. Our marriages are true. We need to fight for the things that we know are real in our lives and start embracing. And it says that we ought to tie those things around our neck. Amen? In other words, know what is real in your life and know what is permanent, and fight for those things in your life. Because the thing is, the enemy would want to destroy and shatter so many things in your life to discourage you so that you would not believe or trust that there is a God that wants to do great things in your life. Amen? How many of you believe God wants to do some great things in your life? How many believe that your family is important in that? Amen? How many believe that you can see how the enemy's been working to try to destroy your family or even friendships or even the things that are close to you? The enemy is working to try to rob you of all that, to make you feel isolated, to make you feel alone. But the thing about it is, You know what? That's why we have and we need each other, so that we can encourage each other. Do not isolate yourselves when the enemy is trying to discourage you. Run to God. Run to the people that are going to be encouragers in your life. Those that are going to pray for you. Those that are going to lift you up. And those that believe God is faithful and what He has said over your life will be achieved in your life. Amen? The thing about it is, God is calling a people for such a time as now. How many of us are ready to really trust what God is saying in our lives? How many of us are still at the state like Moses and some of these individuals when he'd call them, like Gideon, and he'd say, I'm the least in my family. My family's the least in the tribe, and the tribe is the least of the tribes. In other words, you're picking on the worst guy of the... I'm the least of the least, basically what Gideon was saying. But God says, if you put your trust in me, Gideon, I will show you what I can do. The thing about it is, so many of us, we stay in that place where we doubt God and we think God cannot use us. That is a big lie of the enemy. Each one of you have gifts and you have talents and you are called for such a time as this. The beautiful thing about it is when we get together, is when we find our strengths and we find the unity of God working in our lives. You know what? The enemy would love to pull each one of us aside, kind of like, see, when I was young, I remember my dad working the sheep. And the way the wolves work, or the coyotes, or anything, is they always try to find one that strays, and then they devour it. See, that's what the enemy would want, is for one of us to go astray so that he could devour us. But if we stay within the unit of the family, we stay within the unit of the encouragement of God, all of a sudden, there is strength in numbers. Amen? There is strength in numbers. I just remembered something that I think is important to share at this time. Being around sheep, you can learn a lot. And we're referred to in the Word of God as sheep. You know, there's times when the birthing process of the little baby sheep and stuff like that, that some of the moms would die, some of the babies would die. And I remember my dad doing something that was really, really unique. If there was a mom that lost a baby, and there was a baby that lost the mom, my dad would skin the baby, the dead baby, and put the pelt over the baby that was alive, and then put that baby with the mom. So in other words, when the mom would smell the pelt, it would smell the baby. Her baby, even though it wasn't that baby. You see? And see, I really believe that's almost a visual of what Jesus did for us. When he was on that cross, he bore everything for us so that he could cover us. So when we go to God, God smells us. And he doesn't see everything that you were or what you weren't. He smells his son. And he says, you are welcome here. And that's what the Lord has done for each and every one of us. So whatever you feel is disqualifies you, remember, you're covered. You're covered by the blood of the Lamb. And that's what gives you access to the Father. Is when he looks at you, he doesn't see your past. He doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see your failures. He sees Jesus. And in his eyes, his son can do all things. His son is powerful. His son is mighty. And that's what the Lord is trying to show us, that if we learn how to trust him, if he really gave his life for us and we're covered by the blood of the Lamb, we have entrance into the throne room of God because of who he is. And the beautiful thing about it is the Lord is calling us his very own people. It says that Christ was the first of many to come. And I really believe that we need to come to that place of understanding what it means to trust God. Trust Him. Trust Him. If God said it, is He faithful to fulfill it? If God has given you dreams, is He faithful to fulfill them? If God has stirred a desire in your heart, is He faithful to fulfill that desire? See, so many of us, because of our discouragement and our frustrations of life, we limit our God and what He has spoken over our lives. And remember that the Word of God says that He is not like man. He is an honest and a holy and a righteous God. He will fulfill all that He's spoken over your lives. I really want to encourage you this morning that the Word of God that came to you or has come to you, if that Word was from God, it's going to be fulfilled. But we need to trust it and we need to embrace it. Because the thing is, it's very easy to get discouraged and disappointment or push away the things that God wants to do in your life. But I really believe that the Lord is working in a way in this generation and at such a time as now that He's calling His people to rise up for such a time as this. You do not work where you work by chance. You do not belong to the family you belong to by chance. You do not belong to the neighborhood you belong to by chance. It's all ordained and orchestrated by God. God has planted you where you need to be for such a time as this. How many of us are ready to say, Lord, here am I. I want to do and I want to fulfill what You called me to be. Because the thing is the enemy's the one that's trying to discourage and make you feel like it's not achievable, attainable. But I want you to know that when you trust someone and you really believe in them, it's going to change your attitude and it's going to change your perspective in life. And what God is saying is, you need to trust Me. You need to believe Me and watch Me start moving in your life. Watch Me start moving in your life. You know, I remember one time me and Brother Frederick were talking and I said, we were talking and we started talking about the things God has done for us. And it's almost like gold nuggets. If you really look at your life and you can look back and say, man, God met me there. It's like something you remember. It's like a gold nugget, isn't it? It's worth millions to you. Because maybe you were praying for something and God answered a prayer and you look back and you said, man, my God answered that prayer. Maybe you were going through a struggle or something of health attacked you and all of a sudden God answered and that gold nugget is there. See, the thing is if we start recognizing what God is doing, before you know it, we're going to start walking on streets of gold. Because those gold nuggets are going to be so common in our lives that all we can do is say, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Look at I prayed for this. Look what God answered. I was going through this, but look, God brought me this. You start seeing the answers of God, and all of a sudden, before you know it, you're walking on streets of gold here on earth because of the goodness and the favor of God and how powerful God really is. How many of you believe God can start fulfilling and answering things that you've been seeking Him, or difficulties, things that you've been battling with? How many believe that God can bring answers in your life? And how many of you are ready to start saying and recognizing, saying, I know my God is doing that. I see that because I asked for that and now it's here in my life. You start seeing what God is doing. And I really believe that the Lord is calling a people for such a time as this so that we can recognize, as one of those scriptures said, that we desire so much the goodness of God that we recognize the evil and we right away shun it or we push it away. And we desire, our heart yearns for the things of God. In other words, that's one of the things I really believe David, as much as David is the character that he was in the Word of God and all the bad things he did, but you know what? He knew how to ask for forgiveness. He knew when God wasn't close to him and he fell on his face and say, God, forgive me. I know You're not near me, but God, I need You. I don't want to move from here, Lord, until I know You're with me again. And see, that's the heart of God. God wants us to yearn for Him, desire Him, trust Him, and know that when He says you're forgiven, you are forgiven. And that's what the Lord's desire is. And as a people, what does it mean for you to trust God? What does it mean for you to trust God? Can you trust Him? Like we did said that definition, to believe. It's amazing when you're looking for something. A firm belief in reliability of someone or something. Can you rely on God? Can you rely on God? With whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, can you rely on your God to see you through it? I really believe that we're going through some really exciting times. We're stepping into the year 2020. I really believe it's a time. When they say you have 20/20 vision, that means you have good vision, perfect vision. I really believe that God wants us to give us perfect spiritual vision as we enter into 2020. And I even believe that this message is kind of a stepping stone to start allowing us to start seeing God so that we can see the greatness of God and who He is with a clear vision, with an understanding vision, with clarity in our lives. Because I really believe that we've been seeing things through so many different eyes and so many different, the clouds and the murkiness. But if we really learn to trust God with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding, that's difficult right there. Lean not on your own understanding. Quit trying to figure things out. Trust God. That's difficult. But God is telling us we need to trust Him. Trust Him. And that's part of the clouds being removed so that we can see spiritually clearly into the destiny God is giving us. And I'm telling you, the good Lord has great things for us, each and every one of us. But we need to work together and we need to encourage one another. You know, sometimes just because we have a title of pastor or we have a title of this or that doesn't mean that we don't get discouraged. I want you to know that there's times that I'm discouraged. I go back to thinking, you know what? I can't get in front of those people because you know what? I freak out. I go back to thinking of my old ways. How many of you do that sometimes? You start thinking of your old limitations. But you know what? That's when we need to encourage each other. And that's why I tell you today that you know what? Your past is your past. It's gone. You can't change it. But what you can change is what you choose today. And the beautiful thing about it is you can choose today that I'm going to trust the Lord with all my heart. And I'm not going to lean on my own understanding anymore. And in all thy ways, I'm going to acknowledge Him. And He will direct my path. The thing is, we've got to be able to speak it and say it with our hearts. Amen. And be able to say, I know what I'm doing today is what God wants me to do. And I'm going to be the best I can be for the things that God is calling me to be. I'm going to be the best husband. I'm going to be the best father. I'm going to be the best family man. I'm going to be the best businessman. I'm going to be the best coach I can be. I'm going to be the best pastor I can be. You know, whatever it is that God is calling you to be, say, I'm going to be the best for my God. Because you know what? We're not doing it for what's around us. We're doing it for Him. And the beautiful thing about it is He's with us wherever we go. He knows our every thought. He knows our every battle, our struggles, our weaknesses, and yet He calls us His sons and daughters. Isn't that awesome? He loves us. He's a loving Father. So why not trust Him? Why not trust Him? Remember, when you walk into a room and 10 people say something positive, and one person says something negative, when you walk out of the room, you remember what? Let's start remembering the 10 positive things. You know what? There's always going to be the enemy trying to take you, put you down, make you feel isolated. But you know what? Rise above that. You're a son. You're a daughter of the Most High God. You have destiny. You have purpose. And you have power behind you. You've been covered by the blood of the Lamb. When you walk into that throne room, Jesus looks at you. I mean, our God looks at us and says, my son has arrived. That's what he sees. In Spanish, when the mom dies and the little lamb is alone, they call him Pencos. They call him Penquitos. Isolated, alone, basically. But when you've been covered, God takes you from that isolation, desolation, and brings you into his presence and says, you are mine. And that's what we've got to remember. God calls us his very own. Let's stand up this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. And those of you that are serving the communion, if you'd come up, please. Amen. You know, during the time of communion, it's a time to remember what the Lord has done for us. And I think maybe that's why the good Lord laid it in my heart to share that story of the little lamb that was covered. Because that's what the Lord did for us. He covered us so that we could enter into that place called the Holy of Holies. That place where the presence of God is, he covered us so that we could enter in. And I am so grateful that we have such a good God, a good, good God. No matter what we've gone through, no matter whatever you bring to the table sometimes when God calls you, and you say, Lord, I can't. The Lord is saying, I know you can't, but I know I can. Amen. Thank you. But I know I can. So whatever you're struggling with this morning, today's an opportunity to really, really say what Jesus said, this bread is my body. It has been broken for you. And the cup is the blood that has been shed and showered for you. This morning when you come up, see yourself being covered by everything the Lord did so that you can be called holy and righteous sons and daughters of the Most High God. See yourselves covered by Jesus. Everything he went through, he did it for you. His brokenness made you whole. Splitting of his blood gave you strength. Come up for communion this morning and receive what the Lord has done. Thank you, Lord, for the price that you paid for us on that cross. Thank you, Father, for your broken body and for the blood that was shed. So that, Father, we could be atoned and redeemed by the price you paid. I thank you, Father, for remembering each and every one of our sins. And that we are covered by the Lamb of God. We thank you, Lord, for the price you paid. And Father, we ask you to bless our lives and stir in us, Father, a new trust and a new understanding so that, Father, we may be those that achieve greatness for the kingdom of God. We pray right now, Father, for protection over families, over marriages, over relationships with sons and daughters. That you restore, Father, the family unit back to our families, my God. Unite us once again, Father. We love you. We appreciate you, my God. As we take the bread and we drink the cup in Jesus' name. You know, One of the things that Pastor Gail likes to do with our grandkids is she sends them gifts so that they start opening them from December 1st. There's a gift for every day as they lead up to Christmas. And I really believe that that's kind of what the Lord wants to do with each of us. Is every day as you walk closer and we get closer to Christmas, be thankful in your heart for what the Lord has done for you. Every day, read a part of the Word of God or say a prayer that gives you encouragement for that day. So when Christmas comes, that you can truly say, my Savior came and gave His life for me on this day. That it be a gift that is rewarding, that it be a gift that is exciting, a gift that's something that stirs in your heart. Because you know what? We can't take for granted what the good Lord did for us. Amen? He's a good, good God. And He's a powerful God. The beautiful thing about it is He's calling His people to rise up for such a time as this. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in His Word. Trust in what He said. Because He is going to do great things in each and every one of our lives. How many can say amen to that? Father, I just thank You for the people of God. I pray, Father, right now that the showering, Father, from Your throne room would come and encourage hearts this morning. That, Father, that they would be able to turn their eyes to You and say, I trust You, my God. If You said it, You are faithful to do it. And, Father, I stand on every promise that's in the Word of God. And, Father, I pray, Father, for the blessing and the favor of God over Your people. Let them see, Father, the power of their God working in their lives, causing greatness, and that they may say, look what the Lord has done for me. Father, we give You all glory and all honor. And Father, we thank You as we step into this special time, Father, of recognizing that gift that You gave us. Father, let us never take Jesus for granted. And Father, let us always embrace You. And Father, welcome You into our lives each and every day. Father, make our family strong, Father. Make our church strong, Father. Make our community strong, Father. Bring in the lost, my God. Let them know that there is love. And Father, I thank You for opportunities that You're giving us. Let Your light shine through Your people, wherever they may go. Let the light of God shine in them and through them, Father. Thank You again, Father, for Your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen, amen.